flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 610 presents Area 45 with Bijani and Creighton.
Hour number 2, Area 45, hit us up, 713-572-4610, 572-4610. If you want to be a part of the show, you can text or call. Phone lines are open, Twitch, YouTube, join the chats there. Watch the show at P. Creighton, the number 1 for PC on Twitter, at Sean Bajani for myself. Before we get into the topic at hand, I wonder if you guys have, I'm sure you guys have seen this, but there's another one. Ohio State offensive coordinator Chip Kelly, hot on the recruiting trail. Just saw another pic of some kid at a high school with his arm around Chip Kelly, who came to watch him work out and pitch good old Ohio State in that program on the young fella from, where's this kid from? Oak Christian High School, wherever that may be, California somewhere. So he's recruiting as opposed to talking with Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans and Cal McNair about becoming your next Houston Texans offensive coordinator. Just an update for you. Hot on the recruiting trail is Chip Kelly.
I mean, look, I'm with you and John McClain in that, to me, it really doesn't make sense for them not to get a proven play caller, proven quarterback developer, to have somebody on this staff in a major position who is experienced, has had success before at multiple levels.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big fan of this idea of, hey, we just had a guy who we thought really highly of, but didn't have experience, and maybe that lack of experience bit us in the ass this year as we fired him. Let's go hire another guy now that our quarterback's going to be in his third year, who doesn't have experience. Like, that makes no sense to me.
No.
That makes no freaking sense at all.
It doesn't.
If you're working on a project and you're like, okay, you know what? We need somebody who writes COBOL computer language, which is a really old language that nobody really works on anymore.
Yeah, you've lost me.
You're not getting somebody who says, oh, yeah, I saw that on YouTube. No, you're going to go find somebody who wrote it for 20 years.
Yeah, sure. Great point. Speaking of this, Ted Wynn, he's an NFL staff writer at The Athletic. He just tweeted out a few moments ago in response to Houston Stressen's tweet. He says, one of the reasons why Slowick was let go was because of the simplicity of the protection scheme And that was one of the reasons that Chip Kelly's offense didn't work in the NFL. Haven't studied OSU much, but I wonder if that issue has been fixed. It's one of the major reasons college to NFL OCs don't work, too.
Very interesting, because we've heard coaches for years lament offensive linemen coming out into the draft because so many colleges run spread offense, run and gun. Like, they don't, nobody really runs traditional pro style, quarterback under center, that these kids don't know how to block in anything other than spread offense.
Yeah.
And that as a result, they come to the NFL and it's like, okay, there's a lot of learning that needs to go on here because these guys haven't done it. And think about it, like here in Texas, right? Kids grow up, they're playing 7-on-7. Look at your best high school football teams. A lot of air attack, a lot of air raid offense.
Sure, sure.
And then you go to college, and if you go to college here in Texas, there's a real good chance you're running something that's similar to an air raid offense.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know who went against the grain for years and years in that regard is Katie.
Katie never has the quarterback.
Well, yeah, but they always seem to have the running back.
Yeah, well, Katie, I mean, I live in Katie, and I've seen this for 13 years. Katie is really, like North Shore's a case study, right? Katie's a case study in that kids from the time they're 5 years old, they grow up, I want to play for Katie.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't live in, you're not zoned for Katie, you go move.
Mm-hmm.
So you can play for Katie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like, it's like a funnel system where they've got these kids learning the Katie system, 5, 6, 7 years old, they're learning that system. Similar like what you guys see in North Shore, where they even, you know, at the junior high, before they get to junior high,
yeah,
they're already learning.
Well,
you know, they're already learning a part of this.
Your point's taken, but that is also the thing that causes friction within, you know, these communities. And I experienced it in North Shore.
Oh, where, we see it in Katy too. Don't get it wrong.
You know, your Pop Warner coaches don't come from that tree at all. It's their way or the highway, and they think they know everything, and they've got some 4'7", 212-pound kid who needs to be my freaking left guard or right guard playing running back.
Steamroller.
Coach, I was a quarterback and, you know, in my league, you know, with the Fighting Tigers or whatever the hell it was. And I'm like, nah, big dog, you're gonna be on the offensive line, man.
Or on the defensive line mauling people,
right? Yeah, 100%.
Right?
You're gonna be my shade, bro. But it's one of those things, like, if you're a middle school program and you're not doing what the high school wants you to do, then your high school program sucks and your middle school program sucks because they're not creating an alignment, which is ultimately going to benefit everybody in 4 to 5, 6 years.
If you're the middle school football coach and you're not doing what the high school football coach wants, and that guy is probably the second highest paid guy in the district behind the superintendent,
yeah,
your ass is fired.
Ass. Yeah, 100%, man.
Gary Joseph makes like over $300,000.
I don't know if it's that much.
It is. It was printed in the Chronicle last year.
$300,000?
Over 300 grand.
I mean, is he also like a superintendent?
He might as well be, right?
And
you know what? That Katy football program is one of the best programs in the state every year. And they go to the playoffs every year. They basically win their district every year.
Yeah.
Every time they have a home game, in Katy, it doesn't matter if they're a home game or a road game. If you play Katy, all right, the stadium is full.
Yeah. No joke. It's about the only show in town. I was just looking, and this is just for frame of reference to what I just read you about Ted Wynn, his take on why he says Bobby Slowick was fired because of the simplicity of the blocking scheme and so on and so forth. And that's generally a problem. With college coaches going to the NFL, has been an issue with Chip Kelly. Well, I don't know where Chip Kelly, I have to look it up, but wherever Chip Kelly was prior to his stint with the Philadelphia Eagles, which I guess would have to have been
Oregon.
Oregon. Okay, I was going to say USC.
No, it was Oregon. And they ran the 7 seconds or left style high-octane offense.
When he went to Philadelphia, his first season, 2013, top five offense. 2014, top five offense. Specifically to the running game, it was a top 15 rushing offense in terms of yards and touchdowns. But what about yards per attempt? They were fourth and fifth, respectively, in 13 and 14. Now, who was their running back? It was LeSean McCoy those 2 years.
And Shady was part of the reason why that offense is so hard to defend when they're clicking is you have a guy like Shady McCoy who, in his prime, was an elite running back, but also catching 5-6 passes a game.
Yeah, no.
Those may as well be runs because he's taking a short pass and he's getting 10, 14 yards out of it.
100%. But who do you think could do that here with the Houston Texans?
There's this guy. His name,
Schmo Schmickschmin.
Yeah, that guy.
Joe Mixon, come on. Do it. And you got him under contract for a couple more years. What do you say, Chip? Stop talking to, any Tom, Dick, and Harry out in Northern California and recruiting him to Ohio State. Like, get over here. Let's go.
And then here's the other side of the coin on that, right? It's not a matter of, the Texans' offensive blocking scheme was too simple. Because C.J. Stroud didn't get killed his rookie year, but he got killed last year with guys who were supposed to be better talent, higher draft picks, paid more money, etc. And as you and I have pointed out and documented all season long, the differences between how they blocked a year ago and how they blocked this year, how they set up their formations a year ago, how they set up their formations this year. Like, it wasn't the same system. And, like, to have the blanket text of, well, the scheme was too simple. Well, when?
Mm-hmm.
Because the year before, when they were, like, pulling guys off the street, because they were desperate for bodies, they kept their quarterback upright.
Yeah.
And this year, their quarterback, was basically covered in grass and dirt while playing on a turf field, covered in grass and dirt by the end of the first quarter. So I think it's not disingenuous. I just don't think it's fully accurate to say overall it was too simple. The other side of that is you can be simple if you're fast and effective. If you're getting the ball out in a hurry and your playmakers are getting the ball in space, you don't necessarily need a ton of time. All you need to do is be able to spread the defense out.
Well, sure. And that's what they kind of went back to and saw success with, in that Charger game.
Well,
and, even prior to that, and we saw them try to do some of that against Kansas City, but they didn't stick with it. And maybe it was something that Kansas City did, defensively with, press coverage.
Well, let's go back to our conversations from that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So against Kansas City, they started out with some of those short passing game, and then they were kind of telegraphing it. We're talking about this. They were kind of telegraphing it. They'd show the same look. They'd try to run the same play. But, after you get a quarter and a half into the game, they've seen it. They know what it is. Now they're defending it, and you're not coming with any kind of new wrinkle or any kind of disguise. You're just getting away from it. In the Charger game, they did it a little differently, right? They threw the short game to the tight end.
Mm-hmm.
And they manipulated the tight end position so that instead of always having that bunch set and not being able to figure out who is who's blitzing, who's not blitzing, who's rushing, who's stunting, they used the tight end to take advantage of that little bunch and get, just 6 yards, bam, ball hits him, and then it's 4 yards before he gets tackled.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to do that with Cade Stover. They didn't have Cade Stover against the Chiefs the second time because he was hurt.
Right.
But they didn't use that with Dalton Schultz. They didn't use that with Joe Mixon. They didn't use that with Xavier Hutchinson. Like, you had options to do that with other players, but with Stover, who got 4 of those 6 catches against the Chargers, they just dropped it. Why would you drop something that works for you?
Yeah, well, you remember, they kept Dalton Schultz in like they typically do to try and help block, which he doesn't do very well at all, or well at all.
No, and the fact that this happens so many times, because we talked about this early in the game, especially on the touchdown run. Andrew Beck is out there blocking his ass off.
Yeah.
Was there a reason he can't be the guy on the end?
I mean, I think they tried that, a couple of seasons ago, and for whatever reason, he doesn't stick. But, he also gets hurt a lot, too. That was a thing for him 2 years ago. I liked him. I liked Dalton Keene. I thought they were, some pretty good Swiss Army guys. for Bobby Sloak, but it just didn't work out. And maybe that's why. Like the thing about new eyes and new minds, like when they see what this Texans offense did from the outside looking in, how many coaches say that? And there's at least one player of consequence that every coach can say, you know what? They use this guy horribly. Like, boy, just wait till you see what I could do with this guy. How many people do you think are looking at Brevin Jordan like that? Bobby Sloak probably looked at Brevin Jordan like that, but Brevin Jordan couldn't stay healthy. You know what I mean? Like, there is a lot of guys on this team that have some skill sets, maybe like Xavier Hutchinson or John Metchie, that there are plenty of offensive coordinators, probably plenty this week, that talked to the Texans that said, you know what? This guy could help us. And let me show you how. This guy, boy, you guys have been using him in the wrong way. And that's what I'm fascinated to see. And that, for that reason...
That sounds like a conversation for the next segment, actually.
Yeah.
Well, the guys that you think are the guys who could be elevated, by coaching staff. Hey, this guy's going to have a jump in play. This guy's... You know, what players do you think make a jump or improve their play or get better utilized?
Yeah.
Going into next season.
I think we could definitely do something with that. 713-572-4610. Let's get out to the Pearland area and talk to Robert. He's got some thoughts on the OC. What's up, Robert?
Hi, I'm a right guard. I play in Pearland, and I have to tell you, this offense this last year was hammered horse. The amount of
gotta let you go. Sorry, buddy. Oh,
good Lord, man. Is that a high schooler? He got a potty mouth.
He said, I play, not I played, I play.
Yeah, but he sounded like he was 30.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's Pearland, man. I don't know. Are they that old in Pearland?
Maybe.
You know, maybe he went to Dawson.
Didn't they? Well, Dawson was pretty good this year. Maybe that's why. Recruiting. You recruiting bastards out there. What are you doing? Trying to stay on
the up. Hey, he's got that piece of paper that says, I am 12.
I love it, man.
Imagine that you're sitting here, you're on hold, you're waiting to get on, we give you a chance, and 3 seconds in, you shove your foot straight in your mouth.
Well, you know, some of our regulars do the same thing. Not looking at you, West Side, Best Side, Mike.
Hey, you know what? Just saying, bro. I think West Side, Best Side is usually in a much happier mood when he says something than this guy did.
All right. He's Patrick Creighton, Sean Bajani. We're Area 45. Coming up next, If you've got some guys in mind, I think I probably have a couple, but I might want to even frame the question a little bit differently. Like, not just who needs to step up or who could step up in the eyes of another offensive coordinator for the Texans next year.
Who could be used better?
Yeah, I'm going to think about this. I know we can have a really good discussion on this, so we'll do it next. It's Area 45.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Area 45 with Bijani and Creighton.
Sean Bijani, Patrick Creighton, we're Area 45. Hit us up, 713-572-4610. If you call, don't have a potty mouth. If you text, go for it. More power to you. Twitch, YouTube, same thing. You can talk all the crap you want to on the chat. Watch the show. Enjoy. 713-572-4610. All right, so here's the way I'm going to phrase this question that you brought up. Give me, like, let's power rank these, because the players are going to be the players. The players that we're going to bring up are going to be the players that underperformed or that we feel like were underutilized. That's easy. There's like five of them. Okay, anybody not named Joe Mixon and Nico Collins, and Tank Dell cannot count, unfortunately, because he will not be a member of the Houston Texans, like, active roster, presumably, this upcoming season. God bless him. Hopefully in 2026, he'll be good to go. Maybe for a playoff run at the end of 25. Who knows? Crazier things have happened. So here's how I'm going to phrase this. Let's power rank players on the Texans that were underutilized, that would slash are driving prospective offensive coordinators nuts. Those prospective offensive coordinators think that they could do far better with those guys than Bobby Slowick ever did or ever even dreamed of doing. So here's where I'll start. The number one guy that I think an offensive coordinator would be looking at and just kind of licking his chops at: Brevin Jordan. Brevin Jordan is my number one guy. And credit to Bobby Slowick. Maybe this was too easy of one. Maybe the harder one's going to be number two, number three, and number four. But Bobby Slowick, as offensive coordinator, did have Brevin Jordan line up in two tight end sets, lined him up in the backfield as a fullback, an H-back, had him come across on some jet sweeps, used him for some big play potential down the field. He did a lot with them. Unfortunately, Brevin Jordan was hurt multiple times over the course of the last 2 years.
And he missed the whole season.
But Brevin Jordan would probably be my number one guy if I'm power ranking anybody that's a skill player offensively, not named Nico Collins or Tank Dell or Joe Mixon.
I think Jordan is definitely a guy that, you know, if he can get on the damn field, could get more utilization. I also, like, Cade Stover to me is a guy that, I mean, look, they seem to not fully trust him earlier in the season. They played him out of necessity. And as the year went on, his play improved, particularly as a blocker. And I could see him being a guy who, look, this is a guy who is, you know, has good hands. As a receiver, and I could see them utilizing Cade Stover more because he can block and he can be an impact receiver, not an Antonio Gates impact receiver. But he could be a solid receiver who, you know, can take passes over the middle and bang bodies and pick up first downs.
But you know who else can do that? Dalton Schultz. Dalton Schultz, he's a good pass catcher.
It'd be great if he'd catch a damn ball.
You know, like, but we've seen it before, like, you know, the last 2 years, that's not his first 2 years in the NFL. Like, he's got a track record. He's got, you know, the chops to do it, I think. It's just how he, what else he was asked to do and how well it fit with his skill set in this offense. Now, I got very frustrated with Dalton Schultz just because of, like, what I thought I saw in terms of his effort level. But again, I try to be very careful when it comes to, like, calling guys out for their effort and their, like, the whole trying hard Like, I just didn't think he tried very hard at doing certain things, but I wondered if it looked that way because maybe he was uncertain about what he was being asked to do on a particular play. It just seemed like it happened far too often. So maybe I'm trying to be way too nice and create too many excuses for him. But Brevin Jordan's my number one. Number two would be Xavier Hutchinson. I like Xavier Hutchinson's athletic ability far more than I do that of John Mechie. John Mechie's, you know, good, quick, speedy, kind of a shorter guy. Xavier Hutchinson, I think, is fast. I think can catch through contact, can make a lot of difficult catches, some shoestring catches. Guy needs to become a better route runner. And I think the right OC with maybe some different concepts, some ideas, and look, let's be honest, just bettering his craft, Xavier Hutchinson has to, you know, kind of meet them in the middle. He's got to become a better route runner. He's got to learn some of the, you know, intricacies of the game that can help him progress as an NFL wide receiver. But that would be my number two. I think Brevin Jordan, Xavier Hutchinson, those are my number one and two guys that I think OCs would be looking at, licking their chops at, saying, boy, we could really do some things with these two cats.
And it was really apparent that Bobby Slowick and his offense, they favored John Mechie.
Mm-hmm.
Higher draft pick. Because Mechie got a lot more playing time than Hutch did, got a lot more targets than Hutch did, didn't necessarily do more with them. Hutch, a lot bigger, right? So Mechie's, what, 6 foot and 195 pounds?
But he's not. But yeah.
And, yeah, 5'11 and 180 pounds.
I don't know. I think I might be taller than him. Hutch, about the same size.
Hutch is 6'3 and 215. Like, uh-huh. He's a bigger bodied receiver. And if they can work on the technique with him, like the route running, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's already shown you he'll catch anything that's near him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unlike John Mechie, he doesn't have the drop seats.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I understand he was a sixth round pick and he didn't come from as big a school as Alabama. But look, that size and the talent is something that is a lot more malleable than this guy. And look, I feel for Mechie because he went through a horrible knee injury, you know, ended his college career with a bad knee injury, yeah, that impacted really his rookie season.
Worst start you could possibly think of.
Then really. He diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah. You talk about starting your career completely behind the eight ball.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, now a couple of years removed, and there hasn't been much progress. Now, how much of that is because of the system? How much of that's because of Mechie? I don't know. But the drops, those are on Mechie.
Yeah.
That's not, hey, he wasn't in the right system. He wasn't running the routes that are best optimized to him. That's, he didn't catch a damn football.
Yeah.
And Hutch catches the football. I would like to see them utilize Hutch more. And honestly, if Mechie...
But he don't get those same opportunities because he's not a... They at least believe that he's not a superior route runner. And so he's not getting those same types of looks, literally.
He's got to learn it.
You know what I mean? But Mechie would be my number three. Would you agree? If you go Brevin Jordan, Xavier Hutchinson, and John Mechie as your top three.
I'm not sure Mechie's on the team next year.
Well, let's not even, we don't have to take it that far yet. He'll be in training camp. He'll be in training camp. He's going to have opportunity.
Well, they need bodies, right?
Yeah, he's going to have opportunity to beat somebody out for a job. I mean, if your mind went there, then I think you would only have Jordan Schultz, Andrew Beck. That's it left on the list. Don't talk to me about Jared Wayne. Don't talk to me about Robert Woods. Don't talk to me about, Tom Dick or Harry on the practice squad.
Does DP better get a bigger role next year?
Doing what? Just being a backup running
being
back
a backup
behind
who,
better line.
Who gets more than one carry every 6 weeks?
I mean, can he do it? He couldn't do it last year, and he didn't do it this year.
Well, is it he didn't do it this year, or he wasn't given an opportunity? Because in the very, very limited opportunities that he got, he looked pretty good.
Yeah, he was. You're right. He had that great game, 92-yard touchdown run.
And he was terrific on returns.
No, 100%.
It's not a matter of he can't run. 2 years ago, he didn't know the offense. He was hurt. He was hurt twice, and it showed. This year, he came in healthy, ready to work, learned the offense, played well mm-hmm. in the extremely limited time that he got, showed you more speed than you thought he had. Mm-hmm. You already knew he could run guys over. Just a matter of, man, it can't be. You're going to kill Joe Mixon if he's going to get 25 plus carries or 25 plus touches every game. You've got to lighten that workload for him, or, you know, I don't want to see them turn him into Sean Alexander.
That the Joe Mixon workload, that was a real issue for me towards, like, in the middle portion of the season, where he was trekking to be, like, he was doing things with the Texans in terms of workload game to game that he'd never done before in his career. Now, it honestly, I think, you know, lightened up a little bit as the season went along.
When they couldn't open any holes for him.
Well, they just kind of refused to give him those opportunities. Now, maybe he ended up getting some touches as maybe more of a pass catcher. Like, if I look at the numbers, maybe I could make it make sense that way.
But 12 carries and 26 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we can't run the football today.
Well, and he had four games within the last 7 weeks like that, and it was really, really bad. And luckily for the Texans, they found a way the final couple of games to get him to do what he needed to do to make it competitive. No, sometimes it was better, good enough, and sometimes it wasn't, i.e. Kansas City game.
A lot of teams, like, look, the first
he ran good in the Kansas City game.
That first game against the fake Oilers. Mm-hmm. This is what telling you. Like, we knew, don't over-pursue.
Yeah.
Because he's going to bounce it out. He's going to cut back. He's always got to cut back because they can't win, you know, at the line of scrimmage. They're not winning. They're not beating us.
I mean, you know who couldn't get out of, like, the trouble at the line of scrimmage was Damian Pierce. Like, the guy is incredibly gifted athletically. Incredibly gifted. It's just, that is maybe the number three guy ahead of John Mechie. He might even be higher than that. Like, what an offensive coordinator looking at a guy that's that gifted, that powerful, that has had this many, you know, kind of game-breaking, game-changing kind of runs in the last 2 years is Damian Pierce. I could do something with that guy. That guy can play somewhere. He's already shown it. Like, we just got to get him to do it consistently.
I mean, they started the year giving the ball to Cam Akers when Joe Mixon was hurt.
Yeah.
And
I thought that was going to be a genius move, and then they decided they got too big for their britches, and they traded his ass.
The idea that going into the final game of the year, Damian Pierce had 19 carries on the season.
Mm.
That's a big whiff by the offensive coordinator.
Is it that few, really? 19?
19 carries. It's insane.
Are you sure? Going into the Charger game or the Chief game?
Titans game. Last game.
Yeah.
Last game, he had 19 carries.
Yeah.
He had more than that in that game.
Yeah, I was going to say, and then what'd he do? What'd he go, like 23 carries for 176 or something like that?
And then he basically went right back to the bench, just like we figured.
Oh, man. Dude, that week between the Charger and the Chiefs, that went by like that, like a flash. It's like, damn it. I just wish we could. Want to go back and do it over again? Can we get a redo?
I think the thing that drives people nuts is, right, it's like, all right, look, they didn't deserve to win that game because they made way too many mistakes. They shot themselves in the foot. They couldn't protect their quarterback to save their lives. They gave up 9 tackles for loss, so Joe Mixon had nowhere to go. But it's the fact that you saw talent-wise, they're on par.
Yeah.
Execution-wise, they weren't.
Yeah.
And I think that's what frustrates a lot of fans. You didn't get outclassed. Right, you got out executed, and I think that's a big frustration because I think a lot of fans felt like, "Can we stop screwing up? Look, we're moving the football. Then we take a sack because there's no protection, and the drive is over. We're moving the football, and then we get a dumbass penalty, and the drive was over. We came to the football. Like so many times, you saw the ability was there, but then they'd fail to execute, and disaster would happen, and that ultimately is what held them back. Kansas City didn't run them out of the building.
No.
They didn't.
They won by 9 points.
They didn't throw the ball all around the yard.
Mm-mm.
This wasn't, you know,
it was
2019, 2021 Kansas City, where they're just slinging it, and Tyreek Hill's got 1,600 yards, and Kelsey's got 1,200 yards.
You know, we didn't get a chance to talk about the game at all. You did. I didn't. I was taking care of sick people that week afterwards. We never came back. By the time I came back and we did a show, nobody wanted to talk about the damn game. People were over it.
Lazy.
But Do you remember when they were down by 11, the Texans were down by 11, and DeMeco went for it on 4th and 10? And didn't CJ get sacked on that play, I think, like for a 6-yard loss or whatever? And it was like, the game's over. Ball game over. Chiefs win. Chiefs win. Like, that's what it was. And then a minute and a half later, it's like a 4 and out, right? Wasn't it a 4 and out or something like that? Like, boom, Texans get the ball right back. Defense, and it's like, okay, here we go.
Defense came up big for them a lot.
Yes, again.
The offense just...
It was going to be the reason they'd beaten anybody, but especially the Chiefs. And the offense...
The line couldn't do anything.
No, it was so bad.
And particularly the right guard. Got beat like a turnstile. Particularly the tight end. Got beat like a turnstile because they basically tried to play him like a tackle.
Yeah, Shaq Mason, what the hell, man? Ass.
And like I said, you saw how awful Shaq looked in the first quarter. Did you sit him? No, because Juice Scruggs played really well the week before against the Chargers, but Shaq's back. We got to play him.
Where was the body language cam on Juice Scruggs? Like, we had the body language cam on Kenyon Green whenever he was passed over, not once, but twice before Kenyon Green earlier this season. When Kenyon Green got benched for whoever it was, and then that guy got hurt, and then they ended up going to Kendrick Green, and Kenyon was like, fuck. Come on.
Right, but I think Kendrick Green only played they were right back to Kenyon the next week because Kendrick Green came out and he just got, he got turnstiled.
Like, Juice Scruggs must have been beside himself.
And, all right, so in the second quarter, Shaq Mason really looks like ass. Maybe we should pull him. Nah, it's okay. All right, here's Shaq getting, beat like a drum again. No, it's okay. Yeah. CJ, did you die?
He's a veteran. He'll figure it out.
Yeah.
He'll figure it out.
He figured it out to CJ limping off the field for half the game.
All right. I should probably do at least the small part of this job that's really the most important because nobody else cares what I say outside of this. Listen to Sports Radio 610 on the Odyssey app for an hour each day for your entry into the Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest. Do it! Remember, the winner will be headed to Vegas with flight and hotel accommodations for you and three friends. Plus, you get $20,000 to fund the ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of the college basketball tourney. It's not hard. It's not confusing. Download the Odyssey app, create a login, and log in and listen for an hour, at least an hour every day. That enters you in to have a chance at winning this contest. So do it and do it now. Coming up next, hot leads, day's top stories. We'll do it. Stay there.
These are the new leads.
Now look, I need the leads.
These are the Glengarry leads.
Two lead cards for tonight, two lead cards for tomorrow.
Why give him the good leads?
He's got the leads.
He's got the leads.
He's got the good leads.
The whole thing is the leads.
They stole the Glengarry leads.
Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
All right, time for hot leads, the day's top stories, and opportunity to get caught up on some stuff you might have missed. The Rockets, we didn't get a chance to talk about this one last night, but I'm kind of glad we didn't. It was a late tip for them, and unfortunately, they had their 4-game winning streak snapped, and to be quite honest with you, it feels like this team won like 14 straight, never mind just 4 straight. They'd won 11 of 14 going into last night, but lost a tough one, 120 to 119. We were talking about Jaren Jackson yesterday, I think, as part of preposterous trade ideas or something like that. That son of a gun.
We were talking about him as, Amen Thompson have been on
That's what it was. Like,
on the team, the All-Star team ahead of him.
Yeah, well, maybe we got our answer. He had some clutch free throws late that sealed the deal for the Grizz, who were without Ja Morant. I think that was the first time in the last 3 meetings that he had not played against the Rockets, who were looking for the regular season sweep last night. No Morant, but he didn't have Alperen Şengün yesterday either, who had a calf issue. So that really stung, man. It was a killer second half for the Rockets last night, who had an 11-point lead in the first half. They were shooting really well, especially from three, and just kind of fell flatter in the third and fourth quarters, while Memphis, kind of stayed not hot, but they were pretty consistent, man. Got the job done. But, hey, you won the regular season series 3-1. You're still in a really good spot, number 2 in the West. Got a I believe, a half-game lead on the Grizz. So Rockets will be back home tomorrow, one time and one time only, before they go back out on the road. They've got the Brooklyn Nets tomorrow night. Then it's on the road for four straight. You got the Knicks, Nets, Wolves, and Mavs coming up.
So many weird things about this game, right? Usually, when a team loses a game, there'll be some numbers in the box score that kind of say, okay, this is where they struggled. This hurt them, etc., right?
Yeah.
Well, who do you think hit more threes?
Oh, who hit more threes last night? I think the Rockets did.
Rockets did.
Yeah.
Who shot a better percentage from three?
I think the Rockets did.
The Rockets did. Who took more foul shots?
The Rockets. Not by many, though, was it?
By eight.
Was it eight? Okay.
And they hit seven more.
Mm-hmm.
Who had more rebounds?
I'm going to guess the Rockets.
The Rockets did. Who had more offensive rebounds?
Well, the Rockets had like 19 offensive rebounds.
Yeah, so that's the Rockets did, right?
Did you see how many points they got off those offensive board? Second chance points, 30 second chance points off of 19 rebounds. That is elite.
They had five fewer fouls. Turnovers were about even.
I think they took better care of the ball, didn't they?
Blocks were about even. They turned it over 12 times.
Mm-hmm.
Steals were about even. They lost this game because, well, the Grizzlies shot 51.5% from the field, and the Rockets shot 43% from the field.
Yeah, and
they just missed more shots.
You know, with about, 4 minutes left in the first half, the Rockets were shooting almost 60%. 60% from the field. Well, the Grizzlies were shooting about what they ended up shooting, 51%. Like, they were steady throughout. Rockets just got cold and they couldn't withstand it, man. And, you know, let's be honest, though. Like, look, you're going to be worse without Alperen Şengün, but it had been Dylan Brooks. It had been Amen Thompson. It had been Jalen Green. Like, guys really stepping up. Fred VanVleet, particularly, making some big plays late in games here recently. Alpi's been struggling a little bit.
You think about Amen Thompson, who had 21 points, 7 boards, 4 assists, and 4 blocks. Another just crazy game from Amen Thompson.
Badass, yeah.
Dylan Brooks had 22 points, but he was only 3 of 7 from 3. Dylan Brooks was going to the hole.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we never see that from Dylan Brooks. But Dylan Brooks was getting to the basket. Steven Adams, I don't expect a lot of offense from Steven Adams, but he had 11 points and he had 10 boards, and 7 of them were on the offensive glass.
I think all of those 11 points came within the game's first 28 minutes or so.
He was junkyard dogging it.
Yeah, dude, he was getting opportunities, man. How many shots did he finish
with, by the way? He was 4 of 9.
4 of 9. So he missed his last 3 shots then, because he was 4 of 6 in the first half. No, 3 of 5, I think, in the first half.
Oh, basically on putbacks.
Yeah, yeah. After our show, I was listening, and he got another bucket. I think it was an and one, maybe, when I was on the way home. I can't remember, but yeah, tough one. But
Jalen hit some threes, right? He was 5 of 10 from three.
Mm-hmm.
He was 8 of 21 overall.
Yeah, yeah.
But Fred VanVleet, 4 of 12, 2 of 8, minus 11, which, you know, worst number on the team.
Yeah.
Jalen was plus 10. VanVleet was minus 11.
I'll take last night's loss over what could have been on the second night of a back-to-back after they got that dub in Boston. You know, it wasn't looking pretty against the Hawks, but they got that one to go down. I'm glad they won that one. I could stomach a loss to the Grizz when you're without Alpi and they're without Ja.
So, also, Jock Landale got 16 minutes in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a plus 7. 8 points, 3 boards, 2 on the offensive glass. Also had an assist and a steal.
I think most of that was in the first half.
But he played 16 minutes, which is a lot more than he usually plays.
Yeah.
And he gave you quality minutes off the bench.
Yeah. Yeah. When in Rome, you're going to have to play him at times.
And, you know, Tari had a more Tari-ish game. 13 and 12,
mm-hmm.
where he had 8 boards on the defensive glass, 4 offensive boards, and, you know, 6 of 12 from the field. He'd been struggling with his shot for the last probably week or so. He had not been shooting anything close to, you know, 50%. There were a lot of, you know, 2 of 11s.
He's been so damn good, though, off the bench for most of this season.
So it was good to see Tari look more like Tari again.
Yeah. A few NFL notes. A lot of offensive coordinator and, well, a lot of coordinator hires, I'll say. The Jets hired Lions assistant Tanner Engstrand to be their next offensive coordinator.
He's Does he make guy. It a Swedish? I mean, Tabos?
I don't. Is that a Swedish last name? Engstrand, maybe? Who knows? What I do know, this is crazy. He's the 11th play caller in the last 15 years for the Jets. That's crazy.
He might be heir to the Norwegian Cruise Line's fortune.
Is he going to be coordinating an offense led by Aaron Rodgers? If you have not heard it, and I don't have the audio for you, but listening to Aaron Glenn was pretty entertaining when he was asked about Aaron Rodgers. Everything's about Aaron Rodgers, and his response is pretty good. I think I'd have it on my Twitter if you want to check it out.
Can I tell you that I hope he's coordinating an offense with Aaron Rodgers? Because if he is, Garrett Wilson is going to demand a trade. And wouldn't it be great to reunite Garrett Wilson with his last college quarterback, C.J. Stroud?
Yeah, that would be great. Garrett Wilson or T. Higgins? You know, T. Higgins gave Houston a shout-out on Twitter a couple of weeks ago. Garrett Wilson, I would think, you know, has the eye emoji looking this way down here to Houston. That would be cool. Be down for that. The Cowboys hired a new OC today. Brian Schottenheimer, the new head coach, he's going to call plays. But he hired an OC from former Arizona Cardinals offensive line coach Clayton Adams. Spent the last 2 years with the Cards in that role. Well-regarded.
Is that Clayton Adams with a K?
Clayton Adams with a K. You are correct. There's a Clayton with a K. There's a Clint with a K. Both got OC jobs this year. Well-regarded across the league for his run game. Schottenheimer still has to fill offensive line, running back, and wide receiver position coaches. So there you have that.
Everybody's trying to do the Roger Clemens thing and name all their kids the K.
Right. Right. Some can get away with it and some can't. Though I think Kubiak could probably get away with that, right?
PC's kind of a name enthusiast.
He is.
Hey, as long as, you know, Clint Kubiak's middle name does not also start with a K.
Oh,
yeah, that wouldn't be good. Google that.
That would be awkward.
Can you wiki that? Just check on that one for us. The Jags hired the new defensive coordinator under Liam Cohen, Packer linebacker coach, run game coordinator, Anthony Campanile.
His middle Campanile. Name is Alexander.
Alexander.
So his initials are K-A-K.
Okay. All right. Well, what are you going to do with that?
Well, I'm not going to say how I would pronounce that on the radio.
K-A-K?
Yes. Not going to say how I would pronounce that on the radio.
Yeah, it's probably safe.
I just got that, yeah. Because my mind is not in the gutter like yours is 90% of the time.
His brother Clay.
I mean, you said.
His middle name is not listed on his wiki page.
You said Fakakta twice yesterday.
Yeah, but that's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's a more dangerous
Nobody
word.
Cares if I speak Yiddish on the radio.
Yeah, but again, like I told you, if you stop short, that can be a little tricky. It's kind of like saying ship, like Shipley's. You know, people say not to say that on the radio because it's dangerous.
Shipley's.
Not Shipley's, but ship, the first part of that.
See, I think that we should say Shipley's on the radio very often. Maybe they'll give us some free stuff.
Free stuff.
Boom. Free stuff. Donuts.
Yeah, what the hell happened to that partnership? They were bringing Pendergast donuts every morning for a little bit.
None of us are bald.
Jeez. Come on. Yeah, but they ain't bringing them anymore. What the hell did he do? Pissed them off or something. He probably brought some Michoacana stuff in here, which I haven't seen.
That's for Lopez.
Is it for Lopez?
That was Lopez.
Yeah. We need the Mexican sweetbread again in our lives. I do. So that's how I feed myself, keep myself happy at 8 o'clock at night.
Literally, like, I don't care. If it's free, I'll eat it.
Yeah, that's for sure. Coming up next, an Astro legend weighs in on the fractured relationship between Dana Brown and now former Astro, Ryan Pressly. We'll give you the scoop next.